Good day, welcome back to the Microsoft Virtual Academy. I'm Catherine Young, the owner of Thinkroom Consulting. It's nice to be back in studio with you. Today we're covering a very interesting topic, and that's the topic of disruptive technology. Now I know as a startup or as an entrepreneur who wants to live at the edge of disruptive technology, we hear this phrase bandied about often, but what really, really does it mean? We're going to be discussing a couple of examples today of where disruptive technology really assisted the entrepreneur in a great way. And the good news is that this is not all as technological as we always might think. But more importantly, we've got Anya in studio. Anya, welcome.
Thank you.
It's lovely to have you here. Before we get into the detail, introduce yourself to the audience.
Good day, my name is Anya de Klerk. I'm a passionate entrepreneurship development specialist. Been in the game for a good couple of years, so earned my scars of war.
Yeah.
Started off actually as a pilot and a lecturer at the university, at various universities. And from there went and tried the corporate game for a good couple of years and then went independent consulting. So that is where I am today.
Fabulous. And Anya, you've done such good work with entrepreneurs, and I think that's why we've got you in studio today. We really, really want to just deep dive a little and you just share some examples. I think that's, as an entrepreneur myself, that's one of the best ways for me to learn, is to try and identify with other examples and other entrepreneurs who've walked the path. And not make their mistakes, but learn from them, right?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to be talking disruptive technology today. And I know that the term in itself means disruptive, and technology, you almost think that it always has to be about cutting edge, latest technology. That's not necessarily the case. We've got three industries that we're going to cover. We're going to talk about waste. You're going to talk us through an example there. Health and beauty and agri. And agri specifically is so awesome to talk about disruptive technology as we speak about agri. These three industries, I'm going to hand over to you. Let's start with waste.
Okay, sure. So waste is a very interesting one because it's top of mind for a lot of big people and little guys who have to join in and say, how am I going to solve a solution?
Yeah.
So typically we had a guy and an entrepreneur here who had an idea. Now, all of these examples that I'm going to deal with you are guys that come and sit and cross the table and say, I've got this idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea where to start,
yeah,
but I've got this idea.
Yeah.
So specifically on waste, this is a hairdresser who saw the waste being cut off from hair every single day, just piles and piles of it heaping up, and saying, what can one actually do with this idea?
Yeah.
So crazy hairdresser saw an unrelated waste issue that is everywhere in the country and saying, what can I do with it? We went about and we did a good bit of research to say, what are the properties of the hair? What are the solutions that
right.
hair can bring? And we actually learned a very interesting fact that hair is an absorber. I always have to check it
yes.
twice. Ad versus absorber. So it means it can suck in a liquid as
right.
well as when it gets squeezed, it can release
the liquid.
Release
right.
the liquid again. So looking at what liquids could be adsorbed. See,
yes.
it gets my tongue every time. Adsorbed
yes.
by the hair.
Wow.
And we actually came up with these brilliant hair mats that could solve and reduce oil spills. So,
so how do you mean hair mats? Like mats made from hair?
Yes, like you can think of a doormat on the outside of a
wow.
door. And this doormat can get made at any specified size, go under machines, go under cars. The oil would then drop onto the mat. It would get adsorbed,
yeah.
like we would say. We would put it through a press machine, and then the oil could be recovered again. The mats would get washed, and we can reuse it again.
Wow.
So that was the idea, a crazy idea coming from a salon and someone saying, let's do something about this hair.
And they actually went and did it.
We actually went and did it. You can go and on the last page of the slide deck, you can find the link to where the business is and go and visit them. So if you're in need of reducing an oil spill, definitely go visit this little company.
So Anya, what you're saying is they took something out of their environment,
mm-hmm.
something that this hairdresser saw, they're cutting a lot of hair and there's a lot of waste,
yeah.
and thought, what could they do with it? So I would imagine there was a lot of job creation as part of this.
Yes, for sure. So the job creation came from a number of angles. On the first side, obviously, the collection of hair. We can imagine how many
yeah.
salons just in the South African region and
yeah.
the South African provinces we have for the collection of hair. We then used old-age retired people who have a little car who could collect hair. So hair would be collected in boxes in various salons across the country. Then it's the actual making of the hair, the recycling of the oil from the hair, and the return of the mats to the various purchases. So yes, you can see an entire value chain of job creation.
That is absolutely fascinating. And it started with an idea. Honestly, if you had told me that idea as an entrepreneur, I would have thought, crazy, right?
That's often the thing. We underestimate it when someone says, I have this idea. Because sometimes just by investigating properties and starting somewhere of what the product can do for you and where the need in the industry is, it's amazing what you can do.
That's an absolutely fascinating example. Let's go to health and beauty. You've got an example there.
Okay, so the health and beauty idea, also similar story where an entrepreneur came and said, I have this brilliant idea. I say, okay, tell me about your idea. And this was a family recipe of a family beauty product and actually like a moisturizer, which they would use, and it created miracles. So it was also a proven product, already had won one award.
Yeah.
And then we said, okay, let's look at extending this product range. And also at the time, there was no South African brand that had hit the retail industry. So
right.
Meaning going into a big retail chain.
Yeah.
So we were able to develop an entire product range from a facial wash to a toner to a moisturizer to a serum to a mask. And we were actually able to get this into a retail chain.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Coming from a family recipe.
Coming from a family recipe that's age old. She even had the little small piece of paper which still had the ingredients, which I wasn't allowed to see.
Yes.
But came with this recipe and we could develop from there.
That is absolutely fascinating. So as diverse as from waste to health and beauty, it's so what I'm learning from that is it's there in your environment. You must just open your eyes and see. Right?
And often we get an idea and we doubt it. We say, someone has done it, or how do I start, or where do I start? And it's not about that. It's literally taking and seeing a gap in the market and having the energy and the time to spend on it.
Yeah, and that's such a good point you raised, having the energy to spend on it. I think very often we find with the entrepreneurs we work with is that they want it to be easy enough to just happen quickly, and it doesn't happen quickly, right? A lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of hard work.
If we take on average the time it took for both of these examples, from ideation just to get it to a prototype where they could at least start selling the idea, it was about a year to 18 months.
Exactly. That's fabulous. Tell us about your agri and community development example.
Okay, so a big oil and gas company had nodes or filling stations literally in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And these filling stations had to serve as an economic node in a specific area.
Right.
So based on that, the challenge put to us was to say, put together this economic node, related and unrelated activities that could be used to stimulate economic growth in the area.
Right.
We then literally had to go door to door and investigate what were the needs in this market. So what did this community want that we could bring there? Because
right.
if I mean the middle of nowhere, it's literally the middle of nowhere.
Right.
4-hour travel by gravel roads at times
wow.
just to get there. And what came out from this community was something as basic as access to fresh fruit and veggie produce. And we can't believe it, but often we try and think way above.
Mm.
So thinking airtime, police stations, all the things that are not at the bottom of the Maslow's hierarchy.
Yes.
But here we could find that if basics in a community are not there, we have to start at the basics. So literally this community identified the main need of being fresh veggie produce, and we had to go in and implement veggie tunnels and veggie gardens in these areas. So you can imagine the stakeholder intervention from going from communities to ask what do they want.
Right.
Local municipality, government municipality, all the way right up to the sponsors of who would implement
right.
the solution for
wow.
the community's basic need. A
lot of stakeholders. And then did you get these tunnels up and
they're
serving
up and
the community?
Yes, they're up and running, serving the community. It's not a super disruptive technology of how we were making the veggies,
yes.
but just identifying the need. And sometimes I just seeing it can be a very basic need. And sometimes we've got to think it's got to be a genius idea when it's something really, really
I absolutely
basic.
Love the example, because very often, like you say, we think it needs to be complicated. But this was disruptive. You disrupted the way they got their fresh produce that otherwise was very difficult to get. Now, easy access, and I would imagine profitable, or at least breaking even.
Yes, we were always aiming towards definitely making it profitable.
Yeah.
But at the time, just sustaining families, having access to it, and the improvement of cash flow within households. Because you can imagine if you have to travel at least 1 hour just to get to the closest shop by gravel,
yeah.
the expense of the travel fees has been reduced, the time element required to get there.
So the secondary spin-off is absolutely incredible.
Yes.
You know, Anya, you make a very good point about the simplicity of it. For me, as an example, when we look at Uber, when we look at, in South Africa, the home order system, Mr. Delivery, those are actually very basic needs. I need to get from A to B, and I want to do it in the most simple way. I want to order in, I don't want to go out, and I want to do it in the most simple way. So you're really making me think it doesn't have to be complicated.
No, really. When it comes to disruption, it's how you can have a significant impact on your community, or take something and really improve it to the nth degree, or bring a solution to something where a specific big role player doesn't play.
Exactly. I love that. Let's talk about the key learnings you've had from these three examples. So we're talking the waste and the health and beauty and the agri.
Okay, so across board, we were able to identify definite four key learnings. On the first one, it was definitely to say the entrepreneur and the product should know its unique selling point.
Yeah.
So what makes it different from any other thing that is in the market or what is out there. So, and when we say that, you have to really dig deep. You have to know your research. You have to have done the primary research to identify the need. Have shared this with a couple of people so they can build or criticize your idea. But really finding that 60-second blurb of what makes you unique.
Yeah. And you're so right. That uniqueness, we find, I sat with an entrepreneur last week, and he was saying, I have this most amazing app. And as he said that, I said to him, everybody thinks that they do have this most amazing app. It's about really finding, and it could be niche. It could be specialized. There's an entrepreneur that makes good money focusing specifically on the niche of rock climbing yoga practitioners, believe it or not, but it's that niche. So it's very good. And then the unique selling proposition to those rock climbing yoga practitioners, which actually she sold apparel for these guys, and the apparel looked and felt like rock climbing yoga practitioners. I don't know how to explain it, but when you see it, you'll know. So I get your USB point. What else?
The second one is the research that goes into it. So the research and the need across all stakeholders.
Yeah.
So often with the end user, who will be the end user, the competition,
the
partners you have to partner with you, the investors you have to
invest. Yeah.
So the research across the entire stakeholder platform.
Yeah.
So starting from the very basics of who will buy it, to ultimately who will support you in getting it
in
onto
getting
the ground.
It done. And you make such a good point on the partners. Don't exclude the partners in the research, because that's a very important point once you know you've got validation to get it distributed. Okay, then this thing about making sure the entrepreneur can sell his own product.
In the development space, often they rely on the people who are assisting them in the development so heavily that they cannot sell their own product. They don't have the self-confidence to go stand in front of that investor or that banker to say, this is me, this is what I do. And ultimately, the entrepreneur has to sell it. So we always have to make sure that whatever skills transfer in the whole development process, that this entrepreneur can sell his own product.
Yeah. I have to agree with you. We find that many entrepreneurs say they will outsource their selling. And unfortunately, for the first 3 to 4 years, you do not get away with outsourcing selling. It needs to come from the heart, and you need to sell it as your idea, your baby, your business. Fully, fully agree with that. And then this point on competitors.
So often you're sitting around the table and the first thing, I have no competition. Because you've got a disruptive technology, I have no competition.
Yeah.
And I always get nervous when people say that, because if you don't have a direct competitor, you have an indirect competitor.
Correct.
And to know your competitors inside out, to be able to be the first move on whatever the trends are in your specific industry, that is critical. So often you learn from your competitors, but you can also influence the way your competitors do business.
I agree.
So that is why following your competitors, and luckily these days we've got disruptive social media technologies who help us to stay informed all the time, 24/7. So to make sure that you know your competitors inside out, every move they make, anything you can learn from them, the way they market themselves, somewhere where you can latch onto them and sometimes even collaborate with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what you're saying is some of the key learnings out of those three examples we've shared, we're saying make sure that you know your unique selling proposition, Make sure you do research across all your stakeholders.
Yep.
You do have competition. Find out whether it's direct or indirect. And then you've got to go and sell. You're the owner of the business, and at least for the first couple of years, you have to.
Yes.
Okay. Fabulous, fabulous learning. So closing thoughts. Any closing thoughts you can share?
So top of mind is definitely to stay on top of what the research and what your competitors and the trends are doing. If you're on top of that, it's easy to stay abreast and to be a first mover and to sell to the early adopters, especially if you've got a disruptive technology.
Yes.
What helps in most instances is if you're in a small business, you're always killing daily fires.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The time you take out to put yourself and isolate yourself into a bubble, put my cell phone upside down, put off all my emails and cell phone calls, and to sit down and just be in this bubble where you just take the time out to say, I'm going to focus and do some research on to make sure I'm on top of my game. Yeah. That is something. And the third one is, if you can dream it, you can do it.
Yeah.
So if it's an idea or something that's been at the back of your head for so many years or months, it's start somewhere.
I fully, fully agree. And very often we think that the idea is not good enough, or we think we're not good enough to implement the idea. And what you're saying is, at least follow these steps we've said. If you do the research, if you understand your good, unique selling proposition, if you learn how to sell, and you understand your competitors, if you do that, it'll give you enough base anyway to understand, to validate this idea or not. So try.
Exactly.
Yeah. I absolutely love that. Thank you, Anya. It's been a pleasure to have you in studio. For any other resources that you can go check out, go and look at these organizations, actually, that Anya's just explained to us. Freeroo.com, go check out the website. Acublot.com. Honestly fascinating. This hair product is absolutely fascinating on how they've done it. And then Forbes is always brilliant in the resources they have. Don't miss it. Until next time, goodbye.